Good morning. Good morning.
Conversations are at least as important as starting worship to you this morning.
Amen.
All right. Kind of rowdy in here this morning. Let's stand up and sing our call to worship. Fairest Lord Jesus, verse 1. Prepares for the next song. Welcome everyone to worship this morning. you have found yourself at Walnut Grove Methodist Church, and we are a joyous, rambunctious bunch. We enjoy ourselves together in the presence of the Lord. We celebrate His presence in our midst, and you've entered a space where you ought to be able to tell the difference, because we pray in this space and we worship in this space, and God's presence is found here. So we know if you come with an open heart today, you're going to experience Him as we worship. Are we ready, Maestro?
Sure.
The hymn is Joyful, Joyful. October. It's so wonderful to see so many smiling faces gathered for worship this morning. And so often we're just in anticipation of what God will reveal in our midst, display His presence among us. But we are excited to be sharing in that together. We are going through a series of Sundays where we are re-upping. Part of our commitment as becoming a new congregation in the Global Methodist Church is that we will restate our membership vows. And so, strangely, I want to take a minute to focus on that. Are there people who have indicated their intention to go forward as members of Walnut Grove present this week who were not here last week? Raise your hand. Okay, so there are some. Is there anyone, I don't think out of that group, anyone need to receive baptism? All right. So we will make time in our service to reaffirm those vows, restate our commitment to Christ in front of the congregation today. We have some announcements. We aren't doing that anymore, are we? Let's take some time to celebrate. If you have a word of thanks or praise, word of testimony. We want to hear from you this morning. Charles? Oh, Kathy? That was a long arm down to a short arm.
Well, he was.
Look at you. Stand up. Amen.
And you, Chris, you really helped me. You really did, and I really appreciate it.
God was helping me. Praise the Lord. We were on that journey together. I know, because when I saw your faces as we discussed and shared Kathy's journey through pain, unimaginable pain, really. And the toll it took on Charles and them together, what we see is a marriage that has been deepened to its deepest point and honed like a fine knife. And Christ has, because Jesus was there, you see. When you get to the bottom, he's there. And he showed up in a powerful way once and then again, and just a little bit of push up the mountain, and there they are. So, praise the Lord. I just want to celebrate that again. Okay, if anybody has a lesser testimony they'd like to share. There are no least ones. Charmaine?
I had a great set of sunglasses this morning. It was crowded. I'm there, but that's what we're here for. So, good to see all the kids.
I was prepared to shut the door like a bomb-proof. It was great. It's great to hear all those kids down there.
We
yes, ma'am.
We also had great Sunday school classes. I don't think we have a late-cut church.
Well, okay, good. There's a lot to celebrate these days. God is really blessing us. It hasn't been easy, but it's been wonderful. John?
Yeah, I want to praise God today for 79 years homecoming at Bethel Colony of Mercy. For one pastor, listening to the Lord and seeing through his eyes for people like me.
So it's 79 years.
79.
Praise God. Amen. All right. Others? Is that Jamie?
Yes, sir. Marsha and I had our 15th wedding anniversary.
Really?
Yay.
Wow. Congratulations, Martha. Marsha. Somebody down here. Was it Brenda? Amen.
Yeah, I did get a pathology report that I read as good, but I haven't had an official word yet from the doctor. I won't get that until.
Well, we like that you read it as good, though.
That's it. I read it as good, and I give God the glory. Absolutely.
Amen. All right.
Thank you for all the prayers and cards and thoughts, and just I love my church.
Others? Yes, ma'am, Margo.
My braces took off this week.
Her what? Arm is healed.
Oh, your arm is healed? Praise the Lord. That's awesome. Thank you, Jesus, right? That's great. Others?
We had 4 to 6 in Sunday school.
Praise the Lord. All right. All right. What about our concerns? You know, we've had a lot of people in the hospital, and God has been faithfully, of course, attending to those folks and dealing with their need. Currently, Butch is in the hospital, had a bit of a setback suddenly with infection, so I don't know the latest word. Becky, you're here.
Yeah. He's doing good. He's in good spirits. He's with it mentally, but he keeps spiking a fever. They're not sure where the infection is coming from. They did an MRI of the shoulder, and they found a very, very old rotator cuff tear. The orthopedic said it was one of the worst he'd seen, and found some fluid. They wanted to draw it, but they couldn't draw it at the bedside because of the way his anatomy's changed from the tear. So hopefully he'll get that done today or tomorrow, and maybe that will be the source of the infection, and we can treat it properly.
Okay.
So prayers that we find answers and that we get him to rehab sooner than later.
Right. He needs to get into rehab. Absolutely. Thank you. It sounds
thank
like...
Thank you for your continued prayers. We appreciate it when you keep those coming.
Sounds like God's about to provide a solution to a very old injury. So let's pray that God will give us words of wisdom, give the doctors those words, and see into that healing. Others? Jessica?
My dad is in the hospital, issues with his pancreas, and he's facing a second surgery in the morning.
Your dad, say his name.
Bud Blankenship.
Bud Blankenship is in the hospital for his facing a second surgery with pancreas issues. Okay. All right. Allison?
Jason and Keisha Thornton. October is a really hard month for them. They know the anniversary of Hunter's death is coming up. And they're having a really hard time right now.
Yeah, okay. I can imagine so. All right. Arlene?
Let's continue to pray for the people at Chesney.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was watching the news the other night. Said the ones in the car burned, and the coroner's got to get their records to identify. So you know their parents are devastated. So it could happen to us. So let's keep all of them in our prayers.
Okay, definite need in that whole community, but especially to the families who have to deal with the tragic nature of the loss. So, someone else back there, Jay.
Marshall's dad has had surgery, back surgery this week, and he's in the hospital recovering from that.
We will need a name on that.
Buck Mackey.
Buck. Okay. Others? Yes, ma'am.
I have a friend back home. I think they're having some issues, personal issues, husband and wife issues. So I'd like to keep them in prayer. Their names are Knopp.
Say it one more time.
Knopp.
K-N-O-P. P. Okay. Others? Folks, I'm sorry. Sometimes we wade through these prayer concerns. You see, we take a lot of care because prayer is important to us. It's an important part of who Walnut Grove is. So we take it seriously, and we try not to be too verbose, but we want to get everything we need to know. So is there any other? John?
Continue prayers for me.
Praying for you, John.
I've gone four straight visits. They've not had to take any fluids, so I'm doing what I need.
You look like you're down to your fighting weight.
Well, A1C is down to 6.7, and so I'm on the right track.
Good. Praise the Lord. All right, are we ready to pray? All right, now for the miracle that happens when we not only speak, but listen as we communicate with God. So let's pray. Eternal Father, in the vastness of nothing, you found complete community with yourself. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But in the nature of who you are, and for many of the reasons we praise you today and worship you, that could not be contained within yourself. You, in your vast creative nature, spoke. And suddenly, order began to come into all that there is, seen and unseen. We stand here at this end of all of that, knowing that we are just specks in the long chain of specks that make up the beauty of what you've done. But yet we understand that we are significant, that each one has been designed and thought up and given life with purpose. Help us today, Lord, as we seek to live into that. Receive our adoration, our praise, the passion of our love for you.
And God, in these days, as we seek to sharpen our focus on Jesus, we thank you for manifesting yourself on this earth in the flesh to become as one of us and to share this life through from beginning to end to beginning again, so that we would have a path fully charted and every hindrance would be removed to our eternal life. But God, when we believed our life in the kingdom began, our heaven has in its initial stages. So continue to speak to us, fit us out as a church, Lord. Every body of believers has their purpose and their duty and mission in your kingdom. Speak to us about ours. Continue, Lord, to refine us. Lately, it's been a refining fire, Lord. But the glories and the victories have been tangible and beautiful. We announce the presence of the kingdom in this service. Come, Holy Spirit, have your way. For every heart that dares to open to you, reveal the presence of God Almighty. And Lord, because you've made us partners with you in healing, we call these names this morning, each one known to you, praying for your revelation of healing through the manifest medical arts and gifts, the skills that you give doctors and medical professionals of every kind. God, we ask too that as you walk with them and speak to them and give them knowledge and insight, you will stand with those we've named to directly heal, to directly comfort, and be their peace. Jesus, you informed us that your peace is not like the world gives, and that you intend for us to have it. So as peace-filled, joyous people this morning, we will depart this place having encountered the living God through the risen Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you that the privilege is all ours, and that there is no audience today but you. And we pray the prayer Jesus gave us as a model and example of how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right. Now we'll do a few announcements. So, every Monday this month, it's from 6 to 8 p.m. There's a basic training for teachers. Inel is going to be leading that in the Life Center. You got your hand on the pew. So she's looking like she's standing. She stood. Oh.
So, if you have signed up, please meet with me very briefly before you me for the last 50 years, and I feel accountable to him to share it to whoever will listen to me. So, 6 o'clock tomorrow at the Life Center, and we'll be wrapping it up at 8 o'clock.
It's been a joy to discover Neil's extensive resume in Christian education, especially dealing with youth and children, and we intend to be capitalizing on that further. But come and avail yourself of the benefit of what she's learned and can share with us. I'd like to see every last person in the room do it. So. All right. On Tuesday, we have our Bible study in the Life Center. We're going through the Catechism, and that means teaching about doctrine. And if you want to come take part in that, it kind of has its own little... every paragraph is a new beginning. So
You're welcome to be a part of that if you desire. Also, after our session of reaffirming our vows for 3 weeks is over, we're going to ask every family to come by and pick up. It's called catechism. What that means is teaching about doctrine. And it's what we believe. It's the specifics of our Wesleyan emphasis on theology and what we believe about God. And we want every single family to have one so that you can read it, study it, do devotions with it, ask questions from it. Okay? 6:30 tomorrow evening, the Finance Committee meets in preparation for our charge conference. Tuesday. Did I say the Bible study was on Tuesday too? Oh well. Anyway, it's in your bulletin. In preparation for charge conference, if you are still the leader of a work area that survived the COVID disillusionment, and you are looking to reshape and regather, constitute your ministry going forward, think of what you need budget-wise. We build our budget around what we think we need in every area, not the other way around. So let us know. Let her know. Thursdays, we pray in the sanctuary. One of the biggest parts, we believe, the keys of our spiritual life here at Walnut Grove is praying in this space. And so we invite you to come and help us with that. Very informal, and it's liable to end any moment. But we just pray till we feel like it's done. Okay. On the 15th, 2 weeks from now, we're going to have fellowship at Rosewood again. And it was good that it blessed the residents, but I think everybody got a bigger blessing by going. And we look forward to asking you to plan to go and be a part of that again.
There was a bulletin or an insert that I passed out this morning or you received at the door. It's got a list of what we need.
Good. Thank you. All right. Are there other announcements that need to be made? Okay, I want to speak to you a minute about funding. We do funding in the GMC differently, and it's from the bottom up. So the majority of the money we're giving and collecting on behalf of connectional giving. As Wesleyans, we know that we connect and we ministry together through networking. The new model we're doing is we're going to be doing it from the ground up. So when you give, the majority of that money will stay local to South Carolina. And then 1% will go to the national for global effort and communication. And they'll communicate to us about global needs. And we can give specifically for those when the time comes, like Maui or other disasters. The majority of the money will remain in South Carolina for us to bear the responsibility and burden of figuring out how to do the ministry with it. So just so you know that, a little bit of a change in the way your money is handled. All right. Well, if there aren't any other announcements, comments, or questions.
I have a question.
Okay.
The charge conference that we're going to be having, there's never been a time listed for that. Is it going to be during regular worship, or is it?
I'm sorry. It's 6:30. 6:30 charge conference. What was that date? The 29th. And 6:30 on the 29th, it will be a worship service, and everyone is invited. I think if you want to get a taste of what we've been experiencing in worship as GMC with others, you need to come and be a part of Charge Conference. It will be a worship service at 6:30. Our presiding elder, Eric Grayson, will be preaching, and you're going to be blessed, I promise. So be a part of that. Okay. All right. Well, if there aren't any other announcements, we will receive God's tithe and our offering.
Had a technical difficulty.
Let's pray.
Go ahead.
Gracious Lord, we thank you for life, for love, and the privilege to be participants in this body. We bring you our tithes today. We ask that they bless you. They advance your kingdom through this body called the Lord's Grove. May it be pleasing to you, O Lord, as we worship you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing this song as I We stand for the reading of the gospel.
Good morning. Scripture today is Matthew 21, verses 23 through 32. And when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered them, "I will also ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come from heaven or from man?" And they discussed it among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if they say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all told that John was a prophet." And they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said unto them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But afterward he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" And they said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly, I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him." First word, the last word, the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let's present our all.
Children go. Trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to, please take it to the Lord. We are going to be turning toward a short list, but a list of things that I, as pastor, have attempted to identify as waypoints or signposts or guideposts along the way for our journey for the next 6 months. And they have to do with gifting. Your calling, and then about family talk. We're going to talk about things the church has failed to talk about, and for that reason has neglected ministry of Christ to families. We're going to talk to you about sex. We're going to talk to you about money. We're going to talk to you about the devil, and the strange interplay of all of the above. When we get to that point, we're going to be talking about friendship, because I'm going to make an argument I feel like God has given me about the first thing God attacks. It's not a marriage, not even relationships between men and women, but about friendship. More to say about that later, but you'll want to be a part of all of these conversations, I promise. We today, though, are going to crack open a little bit further a discussion about gifting. And we're going to be taking, I know, you probably know, we're going to be taking a spiritual gift survey. But I hate those things. But I've appointed Jessica to get it done in spite of my hatred. And so once she sits down with me tomorrow and gets an earful about what I hate about it, we're going to do it. Now, please dedicate your thoughts to this and doing it, because it is a way to measure and have you understand maybe something God hasn't previously been able to whisper to you. And you may come out of that with an understanding of our need. But today I'm going to talk to you about gifting in the church. The title of the sermon is, "What You Don't Know May Kill You." May not kill you. What you don't know may not kill you, but you may not truly live. There wasn't enough room in the bulletin for the whole thing. What you don't know may not kill you, but you may not truly live. Let's pray. Father, in this moment, through the power of your Spirit, as we choose to cooperate, speak in our hearts and spirits. Use the human words to overlay any prompting that needs to happen. But as you speak to us, have a conversation with us in our inner man, allows us to understand our purpose in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. So in the passage from Matthew 21, you heard a minute ago from Karen, the crux of the parable that Jesus shared was, one son told dad he'd go work and then didn't work. And the other son said he wouldn't go work, but changed his mind and went and worked anyway. Of course, the question Jesus had was, which son more faithfully responded to his father? The idea was that all kinds of people who are disobedient to God in the front end, tax collectors, prostitutes, etc., were entering the kingdom of God because they repented, changed their mind, and went into the kingdom. While those who had said they had responded and who believed because they had Father Abraham as their progenitor in faith, that they were somehow getting it, but they didn't respond faithfully. So, and Jeff is going to come and preach. Yeah. Y'all realize this is really the only way to get to the bathroom, right? So, I mean, he may have to respond to a call. I don't know. I never embarrass anybody, Sarah. So one son changed his mind, decided to obey the father. I want to take that imagery, though, and lead it into a different application and ask you today, as a child of God, as a son or daughter, are you sure that your response to God has been everything you want it to be? Reflecting on these two responses, are you sure that your own response has been everything you want it to be? There are things to know about loving and serving God you can only know, not with lip service, but with actually responding. To get up out of your seat and go and do the thing you feel called to do. Sometimes it can be situational, like you're nearby shopping when you walk out the door of the store and suddenly, you know, there's someone on the ground and paramedics are responding and there's sirens and you hear plainly in your spirit, go to that person, but you don't, because out of decorum and out of common sense, you know, somebody else, that's somebody else's job, right? But you go home knowing that God said, and you did not respond, go to that person. Not that you had any gift or skill training humanly that could help, but you knew that God wanted to do something and you didn't do it. So let's avoid those situations in our lives by becoming more aware of what it is God, the package God has for you. And denominationally, it's been quite a shame, because depending on the thrust or emphasis of your particular church background, you may have a total disbelief in any of this. I had coffee last week with a pastor we've appointed to a pulpit who just has no clue, because that part of his Bible had been written out of his training and teaching. There are things to know about God and knowing God that can only happen when you begin to actually serve God, responding with your physical self. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 puts it this way. The Apostle Paul is writing to Corinth. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. Now, for years that was translated ignorant. I like the word ignorant, but they don't use it anymore. My mama used to call me ignorant all the time. If you're ignorant, you're uninformed. You don't have the proper set of information. If you're ignorant of something, it can be deliberate, right? You could not want to know. Or it can be not deliberate at all. You've just never been exposed to certain information. And that's going to apply in our text today. But the translation we have with us today says, I don't want you to be uninformed. So whether the unintentional uninformation happens to you or within you, we want to pay attention to that today. Some people are clearly uninformed because they are never taught in a church. So much of what we have to do and the ground we have to go back over and plow in the coming months in order to remain the same. If we're involving change to remain the same. We're going to go and plow a field and we're going to begin to teach from the ground up. Some people are uninformed because they were never taught. If you're right, you've got a pencil taking notes, that'd be good for you to write down.
Some are uninformed because they were never taught. Number two, some people are uninformed because they had deliberately. This, I hope this isn't you, but it's probably half the people in the room. Some people are uninformed because they deliberately avoid thinking about having everything God wants them to have because they're afraid, fearful of the cost. Either way, spiritual ignorance plays into the hand of the devil. In either case, your being uninformed plays into the hand of the devil, both in your life and through your life to others. And it robs your life of fullness. That's what I mean about it. It may not kill you, but you're going to have a far less brilliant life. You're going to have a far less brilliant experience of Jesus Christ out of willful or unwilling ignorance. We're going to make sure we take care of the part where we teach you, give you the right information. Satan seeks to rob you. God wants to bless you. Satan seeks to rob your family. God wants to bless your family. Satan seeks to destroy the church. God wants to build the church using you. Now, God has many rewarding things, right? I've participated in some mind-blowing things. Some of you in this room could say the same thing, but just experience this. Because I showed up, because sometime or many times repeated in my heart, God, I'm responding to you. Put me out there where, you know, you need me to be. If you need me to be oil dry in the garage floor, or whether you need me to, you know, deliver words of life and death, use me today as you see fit. We find ourselves right in the middle of something glorious at a moment's notice. Their stories are too many to tell. Paul goes on to say in the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. I want to remind you, verse 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be uninformed." There are spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. Verse 4, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in every one. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." Let's pull that verse apart a little bit. To each is to each individual. Manifestation, that is the showing up of God, the outflowing of God. It'd be if we were in this room and we saw a column of fire, that would be a manifestation of God. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The common good, what does that mean? The common good. I've got several hairs in my mustache this morning. They're just tickling the tar out of my nose. That's why. Better. Common good is for all. The common good is for everybody. The common good means it's not withheld for special folks, the ones with more money or status or power. The common good means it's for everybody's good. Not the Pentecostal church, not the Holiness church or the Baptists or the Presbyterians or the Methodists. It's the common good of the church. Verse 8, "For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues." And I want to say this is not a definitive list, because if we look through Scripture, whether it be as a musician or many other gifts of service in the church, Paul didn't enumerate all gifts in this one list. But verse 11, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each, this is important, apportions to each one individually as he wills. Not as the individual wills, as he wills. Okay? So there are varieties of gifts. Now, some gifts are permanent, and it's probably the most common mistake made in American Christianity today, is this understanding. Some gifts, we call gifts, we really have natural talent and inclination. When we become saved, when we become dedicated, consecrate our heart to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes in and renovates and sanctifies, makes holy our natural inclinations and gifts. So we become better able to use those gifts for the kingdom. They become supernaturalized. Our natural gifts become supernatural. All right? Now, riding a bike. Once you do it, what? You never forget it. So some gifting of God is like that. It sort of comes naturally, and once you can do it forever. Now, I tried recently. I'll tell you, it takes a special bicycle to hold me. But I truly did not forget how. Of course, it was seated, and it was in an exercise room. But anyway. And somebody helped me on it. Other gifts are purely supernatural. They come from outside of you and your composition as a person. Supernatural gifts intermix with your other talents. Oh, I left one part out. In your natural gifting, God also begins to sanctify your nasty gifts, the things you serve Satan with. If you were a card shark or a tax evading accountant, God comes in and first sanctifies those gifts and then turns them for use of his own. So the things you formerly served Satan with, he now captures and uses for his own service. Now, that's part of your natural sanctifying experience. Others are purely supernatural. They come from nothing inside of you. Now, these are the tend to be some of the manifestation gifts like we just read about. Healing, gifts of faith, accomplishing great things in a moment of supernatural inspiration. They don't come from anything you do. Now, these gifts tend to be situational. There are people with ministries like, say, healing ministry or something like that, and they go for years and years and years. It seems permanent. But most of the time, this kind of gifting is situational for the moment. Most of the time, you're available. You are the closest person. When God reached into the toolbox, his hand went around you because you were available. And so situationally now, because you were available, God is going to use you as a tool in his hand. So you're going to have a word of knowledge. He's going to gift you with words of wisdom. He might grant you a great faith to believe something. He might give you a touch that is healing. Okay? But if you're not available, so say you go hide in the bottom of God's toolbox for 50 years. Well, you're going to die and go to heaven someday. But you will have lived a life according to whose purposes? Quite selfish, I would think, actually. To withhold yourself from being available for anything God has. All right. The end of all of this is not even about you. Let's turn next to the next section, which is 27 through 31. Paul tells us who he's addressing. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. You're the body of Christ. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles,
then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? What's the implied answer to those questions? No. But earnestly seek the higher gifts. And I will show you still more excellent way. And earnestly seek. In other words, become available to receive the higher gifts. And become available for any gifting, really. Because some people are a thumbnail in the body of Christ. Well, you know, I needed my thumbnail from time to time, and Jesus does too. He says there's a higher way. And then he goes into a chapter about love. You see, the aim and purpose of all gifting is God's own love of the body of Christ. God wants to gift you for yourself, for your fulfillment as a member in the body of Christ. God wants to fulfill you. Next, God wants to fulfill your family. And third, God wants to build up the body of Christ through gifting. Now, a lot of preachers, myself included, constantly falling into a ditch because hard as we pray, God doesn't seem to be appointing those thumbs and kneecaps. But that's really not it at all, is it? The calling is to all, remember? The problem is the all aren't responding. And God is stirring and calling and urging you to do a thing and you just sit there, nope, got mine, happy with it. But the church cannot function like the church, the body of Christ is meant to function unless all are doing their part. Because our aim is love. We not only are going to perfect love in our midst and become sanctified, holy instruments of God, we're going to be an instrument of change in the world. But we're going to have to spur one another on. First, to become eager, to go from indifference or ignorance to becoming eager to receive anything God has for you, to becoming available to both the permanent, more permanent gifts, and some of the situational gifts. So that in when God needs you and reaches for you, you'll be there. Now, we say we believe and follow the Bible. I beg you, don't say it anymore. You know, when I buy instructional material and it leaves out whole chapters because it doesn't align with a certain theology. Because people who babble on in tongues or do weird things physically in revival and all these other, because you're afraid of all the negative physical manifestations of the presence of God scares you and you don't want any part of it. You're ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's just disingenuous for publishing companies of churches to continue to pollute our Christianity with this negative backstream coming into your life, perpetuating your ignorance about the gifts of God. You always sensed you had more in your calling. You always knew that God potentially wanted to do more through you, but you have willfully and sometimes mistakenly avoided what God has for you. Well, brothers and sisters, no more. If you're going to say you're going to believe and follow the Bible, it's plain to me that as Paul wrote, these gifts were manifest and operating in the church he was writing to. This wasn't a propositional or potential future outcome. He was saying, this is for all. But like the son in the parable, maybe you will decide your response has not been everything it ought to be. The good news? God's still got things to do. And your response is crucial to what he wants to do. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, I'm going to ask everybody who wasn't here last Sunday to come down front. We're going to brand you with a branding iron. There'll be moments I'm going to try to invite the congregation to participate more fully, but you all said most of this stuff last week. We're going to have photographic proof. Do you want to be today or another day? Here comes Mama now and give me the adult answers. All right, so this would be Brantley's first time profession of faith. Anybody else first time profession of faith? Sean, you've already done that. Yeah, okay. Would this be your first time? Okay, great. Why don't you come over here? Yeah, that's right. Your dad's going to stand with you. Terry's going to stand with you. Good. Mac is up here, so we better be quick. All right. And the rest of us, we are making our commitment to the Global Methodist Church membership at Walnut Grove, correct? All right, so, brothers and sisters, it's a new day. It's a day filled with expectation for what is to come, and a day to remember how far God has brought us. We acknowledge that in baptism we're incorporated into the body of Christ, and that spans the ages of the Christian church existence. From every tribe, language, and nation. As we embark on a new journey, we remember that our faith is ancient and has stood the test of time. As new members of this congregation of the Global Methodist Church, we renew our baptismal vows and profess the faith of the church that has been handed to us. So I ask you now, do you believe in God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Do you renounce the devil and all his works and reject the evil powers of this world? I renounce them. Do you repent of your sin? Turn to Jesus Christ and confess him as your Lord and Savior. I do. Do you receive and profess the Christian faith as contained in the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments? I do. Do you accept the responsibility to resist evil, injustice, and oppression by the grace and power of God?
Amen.
Will you obediently keep God's holy will and commandments and walk in them all the days of your life by the grace and power of God?
Amen.
Join us and let's confess our faith is contained in the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty? I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
We're not going to be, we'll assume that you would like to be baptized at another time too. Okay. So we will not be doing baptisms. We'll skip to the next section. All right. Well, I tell you what, we do need to acknowledge these guys are making first-time profession of faith. Let's just get prayer over them. So let's get some hands on these guys. What's your full name? What's the middle one?
Wyatt Amel.
Wyatt Amel, receive the Holy Spirit, having professed your faith in Christ. He empowers you now for service and a lifetime of fruitful, beautiful service
So we'll receive him fully in our heart and become a faithful and useful disciple. In Jesus' name, amen. Bradley, well, what's your middle name? Hunter. Bradley Hunter. Receive Jesus fully in your heart so that his spirit might be released with power in you to give you a fruitful, good, and full life of service and to make you an example in the world of what a disciple is. In Jesus' name, amen. And we celebrate you guys in your profession of faith today. All right. We are somewhere near the end. Flip forward, Becky. Keep going. Keep going. One more time. One more time. One more time. All right. Brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as members of a particular expression of the Christian faith, the Global Methodist Church, we recommit our lives to the Wesleyan heritage in this congregation. Will you live a life of holiness? I commit myself to a life of personal and social holiness going on to Christian perfection. Will you attend to the ordinances of God? I commit myself to remember my baptism and receive Holy Communion regularly and practice the means of grace to keep my faith vibrant and growing. Will you give your life in service to Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit? I commit myself to hold fast to the doctrine, spirit, and discipline of our Wesleyan witness. I will worship passionately in the spirit of our heritage of faith. I will love extravagantly with the mercy and compassion of Jesus Christ. I will witness boldly, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Will you be loyal to Christ through Walnut Grove Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness as Christ's representatives in the world? I will. I give thanks to God for the foundation that has been laid in the past and look forward to what is to come in this congregation of the Global Methodist Church. I recommit my covenant to faithfully participate in the ministries of this church through my prayers, my presence, my gifts, my service, and my witness. Let us pray. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will, and place me with whom you will. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be put to work for you, or set aside for you. Praised for you, or criticized for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and fully surrender all things to your glory and service. Father God, we humbly lay Walnut Grove Methodist Church, the newly formed Global Methodist Church, and the Church Universal at your feet, knowing that it is your church, not ours. Lord Jesus, you said that you would be lifted up and would draw all people to you. Transform your church into a community that lifts up your name, proclaiming the kingdom of God where every tribe, language, and nation will worship before the throne. Fill us with the fire and power of the Holy Spirit to serve you faithfully in the world. May it be so. Glory to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. For those of you who have been baptized, I invite you to come by and touch the water. You can symbolically place it on your forehead or just to hold it in your hand and remember if you're baptized. Thank you. Welcome to the Global Methodist Church. I didn't do it. All of these are moments of deeper commitment. We take them seriously, and our response to them is solemn, as we realize that we make, just like a marriage vow, we make it before God Himself as a party to our commitment. So with that and our response today, let's stand and sing 500, Spirit of God, Descend Upon My Heart.
Until we meet.